He said he inhabited the praises of his people. My Lord. So, my God, I would think everybody would be getting up. Them said, Lord, she got hers. I'm getting mine because I sure was up here saying, Lord, let this thing go a little bit longer. Let this thing go a little bit longer. We've been preached to, prophesied to, and over, taught. But I think we just lack the praise. We lack the praise. We lack the praise. There's a lot of things that we're lacking, but we got to praise the Lord. I believe that's where our deliverance is. I believe that we were discussing this morning, when you start to praise God, it's not that God take the problem away. God moves you from your problem. And then when you come back, sometimes that problem is gone. But God want to see you praising first. God want to see you with an exuberant praise. A praise that I don't care praise. You know, God wants you to be sincere to him just as he is to us. And I just believe when the praises do go up, his blessings come. God is not a man that he shall lie, neither the son of one that he's got to repent. If God said it, then he's going to do it. And so I just thank him for what he did already in the service. We just getting started. So to get a miracle, I'm going to call it's a miracle for God to come down in this place and open and touch her ear. I've been having ringing in my ears. Ringing, ringing, ringing. Sister, I don't hear no ringing either myself. I'm in both of my ears. I was concerned about what they call that stuff. You got ringing in your ears. I looked it up and did all. It's been going on for a long time. I've been doing what Jesus did. I put my fingers in my ears because he put his fingers in somebody's ears and unstopped the ears. I said, Lord, I can hear, but I hear some ringing. And it just bothers me. I forget what they call that stuff. I looked it up and I just began to rebuke it, praying for it. Got into praise this morning because the Lord told me to praise him. It was for me, sister. And I'm glad you didn't keep your mouth shut. It was for me. God give us a twofold blessing. He blessed you for telling me, bless you and bless me. And so I just thank the Lord. We're not going to try to prolong you no further. We continue to keep our pastor in prayer, lifted in prayer. Mother, you are so right. We do need to pray. We get on Zoom, we pray, and hardly nobody's there. We come to church and pray, and hardly nobody's here. Sometimes it can be discouraging. You know, and it's pastor do all that she know how to do and always have. And you spoke it again. God has given us a woman, a pastor after his own heart. And I'm telling you, she is after God's own heart. She can only do so much. And I think sometimes she'd be so consumed with the people. Because they won't, they ain't. And I try my best to encourage them. I said, Pastor, you got to let them go. You got to let them go like you tell us to let our kids go. Them your children, those your sheep. So let the good shepherd handle them. You know, we get on Zoom. It don't cost no gas. You ain't got to wait on a bus stop. You ain't got to call for no ride. You can lay in the comfort of your chair or your bed and still be in prayer. But nobody's there, you know. Nobody's there. On Wednesdays, nobody there. Fridays, nobody there. But you know what? God told us to be faithful over a few. He make us rule over many. And God is blessing us. We have a good time. You know, you got to apply yourself to have a good time. You do. You got to put something in it to have a good time. You know, you can't go to no club and sit on the wall and say you had a good time and everybody else out there dancing. You can't go to the carnival and not pay to get in and ride. You ain't have no good time. You on the outside looking in. Though you might be in there sometimes with the saints, but some of them, they just don't have a good time. You got to apply yourself, you know. Get in to the Bible studies. You know, God wants to hear from you too. You know, you got a voice. You know, ask them questions, you know. So I believe it's all this part, what we're in now, is in praise. It's in praise. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 16. You say, I'm not going to keep you long, but continue to uplift our pastor. We're going to pray before I get started. We're going to pray for her and the Davis family, because the things that they're going through, some of us have never experienced them, so we can't say, I know how you feel. I know what you're going through. If you have not experienced it, then you don't know. Just undergird the family with prayer. The other thing we got to, pastor said all the time, a sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice, period. You know, I know it's some things that we have to do. There are a lot of things that we have to do in life for our family, but sometimes you got to lay some of that stuff aside and sacrifice. You know, you got to get in where you're supposed to be in. So every mind and every heart toward God, we're going to pray for pastor and the family, how the Spirit leads us. What'd you say, Mother? Yes. Heavenly Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this morning, Lord God. As always, oh God, you said enter your gates with thanksgiving. So we want to thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to enter your gates. We want to thank you, Lord God, for calling us a people that was not your people, Lord. We want to thank you, God, for making, for allowing us for you to be our God when you wasn't our God. We want to thank you, Lord God, for what you did this morning. We want to thank you for opening up our ears, Lord. We want to thank you right now, God, for stopping the ringings in the ear. We want to thank you for coming down and meeting with us, Lord. You said in your word, God, what is man that he is so mindful of them that he come down and visit with them? Lord, we thank for your visit this morning. We thank and praise you, Father God, for visiting us, Lord God, through our praises, God. And we just praise you this morning, God. And we pray right now, God, for our pastor, Lord God. We undergird her, God, with love, God. We undergird her, God, with peace. God, we undergird her, God, with strength, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Lord, we pray right now, God, that you make her strong, God, only in the power of your might, God. And we pray for the Davis family, God. We pray that you will strengthen them, Father God. Lord, we pray, Father God, that oppressing, God, will come up over the family, God, will come up over the people, Lord. We pray, God, that they begin to press toward that mark. Press toward you, God. Press toward praising. Press toward praying, God. Lord, we pray for that family, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray, God, that salvation, God, will come to their house, Lord. God, you know what we're looking for, God. You know what we're believing you for, God. So we ask that salvation, God, will come to that house in the name of Jesus, God. As we go into this word, Lord, we pray, God, that you would just use me, God, for the time that you have allotted me, God. I pray, God, that you take control of my mouth, God. Use me, God, for what you want to use me for, God. Speak to me, God, as I speak to your people, Father. In the name of Jesus, God, let me be a blessing. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray. Amen. Give God a praise. Give him a clap offering, a real good clap offering, because he deserved the glory. We just got through singing. He deserved the glory. He deserved the praise. So let's give him a praise. Hallelujah. We thank you this morning, Lord. We praise your name this morning, God. And we lift you up for being so great and so mighty and awesome in our lives. Hallelujah. Acts 16, starting at the verse 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer. Going to prayer. This is Paul and Silas. As we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Here it is, Paul and the saints are on their way to prayer, where we should be on our way to. We just got through talking about what we're supposed to be praying. We need to pray more and more. And I believe that as we go to prayer, get in prayer more and more, we'll meet some of the same folk and we'll know what to do with these people. We go, 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 but we're not going enough in prayer. Hallelujah. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, and turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Here it is. This woman, the Bible says she did it many days. She followed Paul, the saints, many, many days. Why was this woman following Paul many, many, many days? She wanted to get free. She wanted to be let loose from what she was bound with. That's why she was following him many, many days, the Bible says. But Paul was grieved in his spirit. Have you ever been grieved in your spirit about something that you see in somebody's life that you know that they're bound with? And sometimes you feel like that you don't know what to do. You know, you just whisper a little prayer. Little prayer. Lord bless them. Lord heal them. Sometimes we're going to have to turn and face the devil. In the store. You know, sometimes it get a little awkward. God going to put us in some awkward positions. But he want to see how bold you are for him. You know, maybe at church. Maybe on your job. It's people hurting and possessed with all kind of stuff everywhere. But God going to raise up some folk in this church. They're going to become bold. They're going to start turning toward that devil and start casting them out. They're going to start speaking against him. And he's got to obey when God is in it. So she followed him many days, being grieved, Paul, in his spirit, turned and said, I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And he came out that very same hour, the Bible says. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Why would he put that in? These men being Jews. Why use Jews? He is not a Jew which is one outwardly, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. They knew that these men sat with Jesus. That's why they call him a Jew. They knew that they had something inside of them. You know, so sometimes people, we was talking this morning, people can feel what's inside of you. They can feel if it's God or if it's not God. So they said, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. Man, we ain't troubling our city. They did exceedingly trouble the city. Our city's in trouble. Our homes are in trouble, but we ain't troubling the trouble. We got to trouble the trouble. Paul and them got tired of it. He said it was grieved in his spirit. It's time for us to just get grieved in our spirit. So when we see stuff that's going on, sometimes it just don't affect you. But this stuff got to start affecting us so bad to where it just grieved you in your spirit, to where you just going to try the spirit and say, Lord, I'm just going to see what you're going to do. So he said, these men being Jews, they trouble our cities and teach customs which were not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And that the multitudes rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailers to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Here it is. The whole city, the whole town got so upset with Paul and Silas for setting this woman free, because these people couldn't make no more money off this woman. That's just like the devil. When the devil see that you're trying to help somebody where they can't make a fool out of nobody, he's going to come after you. There's so many people out here that's been made a fool of by the devil. They out here possessed with all kinds of stuff. They out here selling drugs, whoremongering, prostituting. They doing all kinds of things. But when they came on the scene and set this woman free, the folk got mad because, hey, look, we can't make no more money. How many times we go through our neighborhoods and we see drugs running through the neighborhood, rampant, guns and gangs We ain't crying out against that stuff. We got to stand at the edge of the city and start to cry out against the drugs. Cry out against all of this wrongdoing. It'll go. We got to start crying out and praying and asking God, Lord, move this stuff out. I think we just walk past the stuff too many times and just let it go. And God gonna let it go until we step in and do something. Jesus said, I left you. I give you a charge. You go out and raise the dead. You go heal the sick. You do this stuff. I'm going to prepare a place for you. But it's something that we're supposed to be doing. I don't think that we're doing a good job at it. So when they got mad at him, they couldn't make no more money off of him. The devil going to get mad because he going to get mad at you, brothers and sisters. When he can't make a fool out of your neighbors no more. That person that you talking to every day on your job, and they just coming closer and closer to the light, he get mad at you. And you're wondering why all of a sudden something evil, something bad, this person now used to like you, used to talk to you, won't have nothing to say to you no more. The devil mad at you when you're trying to set the captive free. He going to get mad at you when you're talking to that drug dealer. He going to get mad at you when you pull your car over and see this person laying in the street or upside the building. He going to get mad at you and try to lay some stripes on you. And so they laid stripes on him. They say many stripes. And they cast him into prison. And they gave this jailer, the Bible says, a charge to keep them safely. So he must have had some charge, because when they gave him the charge, the Bible said they put them in the innermost parts of the jail. They ain't put them in protective custody. They put them in a hole. That's what that is. When you do wrong in the prison, you got population where you just roam around everybody. Then you got protective custody where you're afraid for your life. They put you by yourself, you know, to keep people. Maybe you got an enemy or something. Maybe it's some gangs that you're into it with. But they also got this place called the hole, where when you get the clowning, acting a fool, throwing milk, feces, and all of this stuff. But we ain't doing, when you get the clowning with the devil, when you get to stepping up in his face, rebuking him, devil, you got to come out. Satan, I rebuke. We plead the blood of Jesus. When you get to clown, the devil try to put you in the innermost parts of the prison. He going to try to lock you up and lock up with padlocks and chains. And it said they fastened their leg, their feet also. And so these men were locked up. And some of us are locked up, and if we ain't locked up, we know some people that is truly locked up. And most of us are locked up. We can't hardly praise God. We can't hardly lift our hands. Things are so heavy, and we ain't got nothing in our hands. But the arms are so heavy to go up. Our feet so heavy, they won't move. The knees won't bend and stand up and worship God. We got to start praising God. We got to start pressing. That was a woman in the Bible to where she was sick with issue of blood. Many years spent all her money, seen all of the doctors. And this woman thought, well, look, Jesus come to town. I heard that Jesus can do this thing. I heard before that he healed the blind. I heard before that he raised the dead. Just maybe, perhaps, if I can get close enough and touch just the hem of his garment, then just maybe, I don't know, maybe I will be made whole. But you know what? I'm going to press and see just what happens. We got to start pressing to see what's going to happen. We can't look around and see who this brother going to do it, that sister going to do it. It's going to be God that's going to do it. But we got to have a pressing down in our spirit that we're going to press into praise. You're going to press into worship. You're going to press into prayer. You're going to press yourself back into church. You're going to press toward that mark. We got to have a pressing in our spirit. I think we just letting this stuff go on too long. We just gotten immune to it. We're hearing so much bad news to where the bad news is all that we get. You ain't going to get too much good news on TV. You got to go to church. You got to sit in the house of God. You got to be in the fellowship of the saints. to hear some good news, because it's good news in spite of all of that. It's still good news in spite of all that the trouble that we have. There's still good news. God is able to bring us out. God is still healing. God want to heal. But we got to press and got to believe that if we touch, I believe sometimes we just get in the inner circle. The Bible says that there was such a press on Jesus to where I believe this woman, she had to get down so low just to touch the hem of his garment. It was so many people around him, they said they was thronging him from the left side, the right side, all over him. And finally, this woman didn't even touch him. She just touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus said, oh, somebody touched me. Somebody faith touched me. Somebody faith touched him this morning. And they said, Lord, all these folk around here touching you and pronging you. And you said, somebody touched you? No, somebody touched me for real. Did you touch him for real this morning? Somebody really touched him this morning. God wants you to really touch him this morning. He wants you to touch him. If you ain't here this morning, if you listen, God really wants you to touch him this morning. You got to press through whatever mess that you in. Whatever situation that you're going through, you got to press through it. You got to lift your hands and praise God. You got to walk around your bedroom, if that's the only space that you got, and praise God. You got to be on your job. Pause. Take a minute. Selah. And praise God. You got to give God some time. God's looking for time. God want to come down in this place. How will God raise the roof off of this place? How is he going to do that without a praise? How God going to start moving without a praise? God looking for us to get the movement going. And only we can get the movement going by praying and praising God. And I believe when we praise God, it ain't that God always take away the problem. Jesus, God will take you away from your problem. And sometimes you come back, the problem is gone, but the problem won't bother you no more. Because you're in such a praise, you're in such a high place with God to where there ain't no problem no more. It ain't your problem, it's his problem. Lord, this belonged to you. I'm leaving it with you. So they threw them into the innermost parts of the prison, deep down in there. And their feet was fast in stocks. I mean, they sure had them locked up. They had them locked in the innermost part and had their feet. They want to make sure that these guys ain't going nowhere. The devil trying to make sure that you won't get out no more and do nothing else in the name of Jesus. He don't want you to pray. He don't want you to fast. He don't want you to praise him. He don't want you to do nothing. He want to put these stocks on your feet, fetters all on you. He want to chain you down. But that can't stop you. I don't care what the devil do. That cannot stop you. God is in the place. God is in the mix. God is involved in all of this. So the Bible says when they was in the innermost parts of the prison, it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. See, some of us ain't in our midnight hour right now. That's probably why we ain't praising and praising God. We may not be in our midnight hour right now. We might be at 9 o'clock. Some might be still at the first hour. You got to wait till you, sometimes you got to get in that midnight hour. You got that midnight hour brings all kind of sorrows, all kind of bad thoughts to your mind. It brings all the pain start coming back and all of this old stuff. The bad memories start coming. But the Bible says that they begin to pray and sing praises. You got to pray and sing praises out of some of the stuff that you in. You got to sing praises and pray for the ones that's in the stuff that they in. God looking for a praise. We've been preached to. We've been prophesied to. We've been prophesied over, anointed with oil. But it's something that God is looking for you to do. And it's in praise and it's in prayer. Faith without works is dead. I believe God. I believe God going to do this thing. And yet here we sit. We sit. God going to do this thing. The roof going to come off of this. Was somebody else going to come in with a praise? Somebody else going to come in with a shout? That's what we're waiting on, somebody else to lift the roof up for us, lift the praise up for us. God looking for us to do it. It's in us to do it. You just got to do it. So and suddenly, after they prayed and sang praises, there came a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's band was loose. Here it is. After they prayed and sang songs, I don't believe they were sitting in them things locked up, rocking. I believe Paul inside was saying, in the name of Jesus, in the name of, it wasn't one of those things where you just rocking. Oh, Lord, going to do it. He going to do it. We don't want them to hear it. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. I believe when they begin to praise and sing songs to God, the Bible says an earthquake came, a great earthquake. When you begin to sing and praise God, God going to start shaking some stuff. Not only in your lives, the Bible said, he didn't only shake the foundations of the prison to where they got loose. He said, all the prisons. Hey, you got some folk that's locked up. There's so many people in the family. There's so many people out there in the world, not just locked up in literally prison, but they locked up in their mind, locked up in their spirit. God is trying to shake their very foundation. He will shake the foundation if we just begin to praise and sing songs to God. God wanted to set the people free. That's what he came. Jesus said, I came not to condemn. I didn't come to condemn the world, but I came to set the captive free. And they were sure enough captive. This folk out here sure enough captive. Our children are held in captivity. They may have a good job. They may have a house. They may have an apartment. But they locked up somewhere. They ain't free somewhere. They don't have the liberty that we have. They don't understand the things that we understand. We got to begin to praise and sing praises and do this thing until the very foundations of their lives are shaken. God wants to shake up some things in this land. God wants to shake some homes, and I believe he's going to shake some homes. God wants to open up some prison doors. They doors was opened up. And the only way that these people going to get out is through us. Because they don't know nothing about singing and praising. Some of them do. But some of them need to be taught again. Remember how you used to? You know? Maybe I'm the only one. I'm preaching to myself in here. I had a son. He was locked up. Man, it distraughted us. He was locked. Wasn't he 20? He was locked up. I'm crying at home because I miss my child. I worked in prison. I'm thinking, Lord, I hope he ain't going through none of that stuff that I knew that was going on in prison. Man, all of a sudden we get a letter from him. He sound like Paul, encouraging the people outside of prison. He's encouraging us. I read this letter. I'm like, my God, look at this. I mean, he's talking about encouraging. But see, he knew about God. But yet, he's still in prison. God delivered him, got him out, blessed him to go to school, got a great job, but he's still locked up because he don't know who Jesus is. I don't care how good you might be doing out here. If you don't know Jesus as the pardon of your sin, you still in lockup. So it's up to us to show them the way again. And so right now, God got me in a position to where I believe God is using me to bring him right on back in. I believe he's just reeling him right back in because he's saying things that he used to say about the Lord that was good. How he was talking to us on that letter while he was in prison. He's saying those things again. But before that, he was so bitter with God. I'm thinking to myself, how in the world could you be bitter with God after God, what God has done for you? But God said, let him alone. You know, leave him alone. My people coming, my son is doing the same thing. What's the secret? I said, ain't no secret. God want everybody to know. Ain't no secrets with God. Well, he got some secrets, but those secrets belong to him. The stuff that revealed to us belong to us. But all you got to do is praise God, worship the Lord, and tell Lord there he is. You deal with him. Live that life before him. And so I don't care if God called them, he going to keep them. They may be acting up, but they acting up in God's hand. You know, and I believe when they get out of hand, God just put a little pressure on them. He just squeezed their hand a little bit. They still belong to God. They just acting up in God's hand. That's all. They belong to the Lord. They belong to him. But we got to learn how to praise him and worship him in spirit and in truth. Because when they come in, I ain't say if, but when they come in, they got to see us worshiping him. They got to see us with an exuberant praise. Folk don't want nothing dead. You know, mom and daddy, oh, y'all fuddy does. Y'all old. That's what they say to us, y'all old. But they want to see something exuberant. They want something that's going to move them. Praise is move them. Truth going to move them. Prayer going to move them. I was so afraid to have prayer with this boy because he was so mad at God. But the Lord said, faith without works is dead, Al. Practice what you preach. I said, I want to have prayer with you. Okay, Dad. And God is just moving. So God wants to shake the very foundation of whatever you in. Whatever your lockup is, God ready to shake it. All you got to do is praise him. All you got to do is lift your hands to him and just walk around and get your praise. Sing that song over and over and over and over. Get you a new song and sing that one. Don't worry about your troubles. Trouble's going to always be there, but your troubles, you can leave them troubles behind with your praise. You can walk with Jesus and your troubles be way away from you. It's possible. All things are possible, but it is something that we have to do. God ain't going to come down here and do everything for you. He going to do it through you. He going to do it with you. Then he's going to do it for you. So it's God that's doing it, the work, but God wants you to have some faith with your works. And so if God did it for Paul and Silas, I don't even know if Paul and Silas were praying for the whole prison. The Bible said they were just singing songs and praying. And their chains fell off. The prisoners' chains fell off. The doors opened up. And the guard got upset. Thought he was going to get killed because of what happened. Come on, saints of God. It's time for us to get busy. Get busy for God. Lay some of that stuff aside. Some of that important stuff that you said, this is important, I got to do this. But you got to give God a sacrifice of praise. That's what sacrifice means. Giving up something that's really important. Lord, I'm sacrificing this. I love this. I love this child. I love pork, Lord. But I say, Lord, I'm giving up pork, not because it makes me sick. I love pork. Pork steak was my best cut of the pork. But one day I said, Lord, I got to give up something for you. I was fast breath. I said, I'll give up pork for you, your family free. God is able. God bless you this morning.